This is 10 Seconds to Happy, where a little knowledge can make a really big difference, and so can a few seconds. Welcome back, everyone. This is Sherry Speroni here, looking to take on the topic of gals and guys and the differences between us. This is where a little knowledge can make a really big difference in your world. Hopefully, you're going to really enjoy some of the things I have to share with you today. As always, feel free to drop me a line if you have any questions. Regardless of what age you are, it did not take you long for you to figure out that girls and boys are very different. It only takes a five-year-old a couple of days in kindergarten to realize that, well, if she has something that a boy wants, he is likely to just come over and take it. Where the girls in the group will come over and gently ask if they can play with something. Growing up, we hear things like, oh, girls mature faster than boys, as if to say boys eventually come around and grow up to be just like us nice girls. Well, we all know that does not happen. It's not part of the divine plan, folks. Now, today I'm going to explain and give you some insight as to many of the things that you have witnessed and experienced, but had no scientific evidence to explain it. So in this podcast series, we're going to talk about things like, what does science have to say regarding why teenage girls will spend hours on the phone? Why do teenage boys spend hours in their room? Why do some men get really uncomfortable around women crying? Why do some women in the corporate world have more trouble than guys speaking their mind? Ever think a guy is great looking, only to find out you had no sexual attraction to him? I hate when that happens. And my personal favorite, why he can never tell why you're angry or upset. See, and you thought you were alone. No, girls, we all ask these questions. First and foremost, we are all social creatures, going through life trying to find love and our mate and then producing our own offspring, all to feel safe and connected. You have to become aware of what is driving all of your actions. The short version is that we are driven basically by three very powerful drugs, neurotransmitters called serotonin, dopamine, and the third you may not be so familiar with called oxytocin. And there is another group called endorphins, and I'm sure you've all heard of those. You get those after exercising or after sex. But for today, I'm leaving those out because they are less affected by our social interactions. So we'll just leave those to the side for now. See, you go out with friends to feel oxytocin. Oxytocin may be new to you, but not to science. This is referred to as the trust and bonding drug. It is released after sex, during cuddling, nursing, or having a nurturing moment with your children, or by even cuddling with a pet. It is released when working closely with a team of people on a task, or even when just holding hands. And for those of us who feel we require a lot of affectionate touching, I'm in that category, it is typically because we are more sensitive to oxytocin. Now, in general, women are, because oxytocin is released at the point of childbirth. And that will ensure us bonding to our new child. So women naturally are going to have more receptors for their oxytocin, which is also why we will avoid conflict as much as possible. So that wonderful feeling of connectedness is not disturbed. It's also why, as human beings, we go to comedy clubs. We love laughing with the audience and with the person on stage. It makes us feel bonded and connected to them. I bet you never knew that. It's why when you're cracking up, you look around to see other people laughing, because when you experience that, you immediately feel connected. And if you think back, it's also one of the first things we do with an infant child. We try to get it to laugh and to giggle. It's one of the first reactions we try to get out of it. Other ways we can feel really connected is through social media. But here's a question for you. Why do we engage with social media like Facebook when we are already hanging out with friends, getting our hits of oxytocin with them? Well, it's because really we're clueless as to why we do either. See, social media like Twitter and Facebook give you spurts of the other two neurochemicals as well, dopamine and serotonin. And like addicts, we will do anything for our high. Let me explain these. Dopamine, when released in the reward center, can cause a person to chase hits of cocaine until their heart stops, or risk their life to hold on to love, or even die of a broken heart if that love is removed. Have you ever ridden a roller coaster? That's dopamine. What about remembering back to when you were a teenager and you felt that first buzz of your first crush? That's dopamine. How many of you out there also would remember your first kiss? The girls do. That's dopamine. Then there's serotonin. Serotonin is the chemical that makes us feel content, calm, and even superior. Do you recall that feeling you had while looking at a sunset? Think back to it for a minute. For most people, it feels like your life is perfect and you couldn't want for anything else. It's the same kind of feeling you get after eating a really great meal. That's serotonin. Of course, right before you have that meal, you'll feel a dopamine hit. Anytime you feel peaceful, relaxed, safe, and secure, that is serotonin doing its job. These neurochemicals spur us on to engage in activities that will ensure our survival. They've been around since we've been around, thousands of years. So when we have something that we know others want, like a new car, a new boyfriend, new girlfriend, or that warm sunset in January, we have to show it off in order to experience the superiority. And there you are posting it on Facebook. Picture of your drinks, picture of your food, picture of your feet in the sand. Hell, it's one of the reasons postcards were invented. So each of these chemicals will cause us to do what we do and be who we are. It is hardwired into our brains through evolution. But at least you know now and you're aware of it. Let's see what you go and post on Facebook tomorrow. Now, us women are literally built like a machine for 100% connection and communication. It's our job. Maintaining social harmony to our brain is a matter of life and death. In my other podcast, I talk about a small area in the brain called the amygdala. It is your personal panic button, your very own alarm bell, and it overreacts to everything as if you are going to die. See, thousands of years ago, if you were a woman and your mate was a little pissed at you, your alarm bells went off. Why? Because if he left you, you had no food, no protection, and your offspring were going to die. If you were shunned by the other members of the tribe, even the other gals, you became an outcast, and that was a death sentence within hours. So it wasn't just the roaming lions in the bushes, but also the treatment you received from your social inner circle that meant life or death. Now, in present day, your amygdala still thinks that similar situations like that, for example, your boss being annoyed at you, a fight with your spouse, car trouble, family arguments, it thinks all of those could mean death for you. And although these aren't life-threatening, in the 21st century, it still sends an SOS stress signal at the least sign of frustration. But for men, not so much. At least when it comes to the social issues. Have you ever discussed a social situation with your boyfriend and have him look at you like, why are you so upset about this? Why do you care so much? I know I've been there. Kind of makes me want to punch him in the head. How can he not care? This is so important. I often think it must be great to be a guy and never have to worry about what other people think. Now, who remembers high school? I'm sure we all remember being teenage girls and wanting to be connected to our friends, that we would text or write notes between every class. Do you remember even obsessing over any kind of an argument with a friend? Or a look? Or an attitude that seemed judgmental, those things could flip us out. High school for girls is drama, drama, drama. But what about the boys? Well, guess what? Studies have shown that most boys barely react to social stress. And let's face it, the estrogen in a teenage girl's brain is so intense, she doesn't know what hit her. And then we're like, oh, you're PMSing. Oh, she just hit puberty. Like somehow the teenage brain of a female is going to know what the hell that even means. With all the overwhelming emotions, they will seek protection and their safety with their girlfriends. Like talking on the phone for 2 and 3 hours. Who can remember doing that? I know I did. We used to have a contest how many hours we could stay on. But did you ever hear of a teenage boy talking to his buddy for 2 hours? For crying out loud, even their texts are one-word answers. And another reason why us girls will bond so tightly is because our Stone Age brain thinks that when we become pregnant, we are going to need each other to protect each other. This was all true thousands of years ago. Even back then, we knew you couldn't always count on your male partner. So these patterns are still in play. And lastly, I just want to mention once again about the social media. We use social media to feel connected. And believe it or not, oxytocin is in play when you're fooling around with social media. Sounds crazy, but that is why we're doing it. They have found that as long as social media is not a replacement for your face-to-face contact or used when you're having face-to-face contact, it can actually relieve feelings of loneliness and isolation. However, if you're out with friends and then you're yakking on your phone and texting and on Facebook at the same time, you're then going to hinder the release of oxytocin. Why do I mention this? Because you need to be aware of what you're going after. These neurochemicals drive 3/4 of our behavior. Okay, so you're out with friends and you're getting that nice hit of warm, fuzzy oxytocin, you feel close, but then all of a sudden you're back on your phone and you're texting. That's also possibly because of oxytocin, but if you're bragging and posting pictures, you're looking for a serotonin hit. Once you're aware of what you're chasing, you'll be aware of what you actually need, and you'll stay focused where you need to be to feel better. Women are built 100% to communicate. It's not just what we do, it's who we are. So it's very common for us to chase the oxytocin because it is the bonding hormone and it's what's going to make us feel the most safe and secure. However, our male counterparts, not so much. Communication is not what drives them. Like I really had to even tell you that. But for us gals, it is not just what we do, it is who we are. And if we don't understand that difference, it can leave us frustrated and confused. Now, let me be clear. These are not absolutes. Everyone has traits that differ and we have childhoods that can alter us. So, you know, we all know women who don't communicate that well and we know guys who do communicate well. But we do have our biases. So, I may as well break the news to you right now, gals, that your boyfriend is unlikely ever going to read your face or emotions by a look or your tone of voice or the cold shoulder. Okay, I know you've tried that, probably hasn't worked. They are not wired to read that. Even in infancy, a male child will not look at his mother's face nearly as much as he will around the room at objects. And us girls, on the other hand, will begin immediately trying to read our mother's face and those around us. We will search for looks of approval, rejection, and satisfaction. The boys, they don't. Now, by all means, do your own little study. The next time you're around a bunch of little boys that are horsing around and they're not paying attention and they get in some trouble and their mother shoots them a look, you're going to notice it will probably have no effect. So don't think that 20 years later, he's going to start getting it. But for that little girl, oh, she's going to stop doing whatever she's engaged in. And 20 years later, we still will. As adults, we are going to be super sensitive to a look, a gaze, a frown, or a smile from everyone, anywhere. It's not going to matter if you're in a store, with a friend, or walking by your boss or your mate. Our Stone Age brain has learned to do this in order to survive. See, thousands of years ago, when you got a dirty look, it would send shivers of panic and anxiety through you because your amygdala started screaming that you were in danger. Remember from my prior podcast that thousands of years ago, if your mate wasn't happy with you, you could be lunch by noon. So you needed his approval, you needed him to be happy in order for him to provide for you and your offspring. Well, that same system, unfortunately, is still in play. But where we really get into trouble is we assume that guys' brains work the same as ours. So if you're going to expect your boyfriend to read your attitude from your face when you are hurt or angry, you may as well hand him a book to read every single time you're upset, because it would take him that long to figure it out. He's not being distant, cold, or callous. His brain truly is not structurally wired to know what your facial expressions mean. And they are also not wired to be overly concerned with them if they could. That is our personal hell. Now, do they ever read faces? Well, sure. For the extreme situation, when they do recognize pain on another person's face, studies have shown on fMRI scans that it actually registers in the man's brain as an unbearable pain. And some men will find it very hard to tolerate. Why is that? Well, there's speculations. One of them is because they don't know possibly how to fix it, in the sense that they aren't programmed for that. Women, on the other hand, are wired to make peace and fix people's problems, nurture and care for them. Men are wired to divide and conquer and take what they want. That's just how they're programmed. If you don't start to embrace these differences, you may never feel that you have found the right guy. So let me give you some statistics for these biases. Studies show that men pick up subtle signs of sadness in a female's face only about 40% of the time, whereas women pick it up 90% of the time. Okay, I've given you a lot to think about for today. Tune into my next podcast where we cover a lot more on the differences of mating and dating. Stay tuned and keep smiling.